to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch,
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. You are officially on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. Welcome to the show. I hope you're having a great day. We always do here. We have lots of fun here in the studios and, of course, on the couch. Hopefully, if you're tuning in today, you know you can always call me if you have any questions or issues or problems or just general things you'd like to know. Usually I appreciate questions that are oriented towards psychology. What I do is I cover everything. Relationship issues. I like that a lot. Everybody has relationship issues. Whether it's family or friends or, you know, lovers, whatever's going on. Everybody has those issues. So I'm happy to answer those questions. And I do have a special guest who I'm waiting to call me right now today on the show. He's the author of a book called Two-Legged Snakes. Yeah, those people walking around. Yeah, understanding and handling manipulative people. His name is Dr. Ed Slack. We'll be talking to him in just a bit. And also, I want to let you know that if you'd like to email me, yeah, you can ask me any questions you like at Doc Michelle, DOC Michelle at AOL.com. I get a lot of my material from my email and my listeners because, you know, it's cool. I love questions, and I love to answer them. So, docmichelle@AOL.com, that's where you can find me if you would like to write in and say, hey, what's up with this relationship, or am I being weird, or whatever. And, you know, you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship. I'd like to establish that, but, you know, at least I can give you some advice, suggestions, maybe a little entertainment. That's always fun to do. So, also, you can find me on my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle. I have two L's in my name, drmichelletherapy.com. And there, if you check me out, you can see that I'm all about making positive life changes, you see? And the only way you make positive life changes is you create them yourself. You don't wait for anybody out there in your life to change you see? And what you do is you take the actions, you think about what you like. You make ideas up about how you can go towards achieving your goals and doing what you like and just creating positive life changes. And also my big thing on my website, as you'll see, is helping you detox from the drama in your life. What we like to do is try to detox all that drama, you know, that you're addicted to. We do get addicted to drama in our lives. We do get addicted to many problems that we have from other people and their anger and you know, we engage in it as well. So we're just as responsible, you know, if we engage in the drama. So I help people overcome, you know, that whole drama thing. I help them, you know, segue into taking care of themselves and, you know, not getting themselves crazy or anxious or, you know, in unhealthy places where they have these ongoing, dramatic, unhealthy relationships. So that's what I do. So you can check that out a little bit more. Also, you can get excerpts from the show, you know, on my website as well. You can listen to some of the shows in the past that we've had. And also, I've got little segments called On Your Mind with Dr. Michelle. On Your Mind. What's on your mind? And, you know, they're like 60-second vignettes about, you know, helping you with sleep, helping teenagers, understanding stress, how to manage your anxiety, things like that. So you can check that out as well. And we have a guest today, and hopefully he'll be calling in soon. It's Dr. Ed Slack, and he's the author of Two-Legged Snakes, Understanding and Handling Manipulative People. And what's that all about? You know, we all have manipulative people in our lives. Yeah. I mean, you know, most of the people on my couch are saying, my mom and dad, I just wasn't enough for them, and they're so controlling and manipulative, and they wanted to change my life. That's what a lot of it's about. So that's what I hear all the time from people, you know, who are giving me a hard time why can't I be enough? Why can't I be, I'm not smart enough. I'm not great enough. I'm not bright enough. I'm not whatever enough is enough. You know, so that's what I hear a lot. It's tough. So what we do is we have to learn how to cope with people all our lives who have manipulated us. And we're going to have my guest on the show to help us with that right now. Well, good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Ed Slack.
Hello.
Hey, Dr. Slack, how are you?
I'm good. Dr. Michelle, how are you doing?
Great. So nice to hear from you. I appreciate you calling in. And you
no
are
problem.
You are live on the couch here.
Am I really? Am I on the couch right now?
You sure are, honey. You sure are.
Well, heck, I feel better already.
There you go. Well, I've been kind of building you up here and introing your book. It's a cool book. It's called Two-Legged Snakes, Understanding and Handling Manipulative People. And, of course, Dr. Ed Slack, who I've got on the phone right now, is the author. And, by the way, folks, you know, Dr. Ed's licensed psychologist. He's been doing this a very long time. What, about 25 years, Ed?
Yeah, 25 years. Well, that makes me feel old.
Oh,
but, yeah,
no.
Forever.
Well, you don't look old. You look great.
Oh, thanks.
Wow.
Well preserved.
You do.
I keep my house about 68 degrees. I'm trying this cryogenic thing.
Are you? There you go. Yeah, conservation of energy and all that stuff, too.
So. You bet.
You know what I really liked about your book? Is it's great reading. You know, it's not, you know, you are a very well-read man. You're an intellectual. You're a professional. You're a psychologist. But this is a great book that has so much insight into it. And also, it's fun reading because you make it fast-paced. You make it really interesting, and people can get it. And I love the pictures, too. You've got some great pictures in here, which helps things move along and kind of illustrates what you're talking about.
Yeah, it makes it fun, and it makes it easy to remember, too. I'm a pretty visual person, and
yeah.
You know, I remember things in pictures quite a bit. We had a couple of really great illustrators, Donnie Schmutz and Sherrard Jackson. Mm-hmm. Sherrard's done some major film stuff, and
cool.
And Donnie's a fine artist here in Nashville who's had some, you know, really great national responses to his work, so... We would get them together every Tuesday for quite a while and talk about different sections of the book and
cool.
And come up with these ideas for the pictures. And it was really a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're fun. They are fun. They're hysterical.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Very good illustrations in here. So let's get to the meat, the content
okay.
Of Two-Legged Snakes walking around everywhere. You know, these people. What prompted you to write this, Ed?
Well, really, I've been thinking about that, and I think I wrote it because I'm a very trusting person,
yeah.
And I pretty much, in order to learn how not to get manipulated and burned because of my trusting nature, I pretty much had to write the book on it.
Yeah, there you go, and you know what? That's therapy for you. How's that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking about what was the first time I got snaked, and I remember... I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I was playing with one of those super balls. You know those balls used to bounce a whole lot?
Oh, yeah.
And I was really young, and I was playing with it, and some of the older kids came up on their bicycles, and, you know, wow, they're without training wheels, so that was so cool
yeah.
to me.
Oh.
And they said, let me see the ball, and I go, okay.
Oh.
You know, and they proceeded to bounce it over the house.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, there are bullies in this world. Chip.
Yeah, I was like, Mike, why would you do that? I was mystified for it for days. So, you know, I think the book is, to a large extent, in response to, you know, my trusting nature. And,
yeah.
And it's for people who have trusting natures who need to learn these things.
Yeah.
And also people really seem to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've written other things, but this is the one that people would always accuse me of plagiarism. They'd be like, nah, you didn't write this. This is good.
How rude. You're going,
well, I've got rude friends, I guess.
Hello, I've been a licensed psychologist for over 25 years. I've been doing this a lot, you know. So what, you see, we're going to define this thing here. What's a two-legged snake? I like to say it like that. What's a two-legged
snake? Yeah, it sounds really, you know, scary.
Yeah.
A two-legged snake is somebody who manipulates other people for their own good.
Yeah.
Basically, they're treating people unfairly. A lot of times that's using persuasive techniques to get
mm-hmm.
people to act against their own best interests.
Mm-hmm.
And it can come in a lot of different levels. You know, sometimes we can be kind of innocent and snaky. You know, we've just kind of picked it up because of snaky modeling experiences. We've seen people be snaky or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be, you know, diabolical and life-threatening and terrible. But it's basically people who use sophistry and different sorts of techniques that I delineate in the book
mm-hmm.
to get people to do things that they're better off not doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of them out there. Is there any kind of like a reason why has this become more of a problem now than in the past, or do you think why?
It really has, I think. But Michelle, because of the one thing is the media, our communication systems amplify everything.
Oh yeah.
Holy cow. You know, we can talk to anybody all over the world, huge stages. Media has never been more powerful.
Mm.
And there's a huge lack of awareness. I mean, I don't really understand why this stuff isn't taught in school, where every, you know, fifth grader doesn't have this down pat.
Mm.
You know, the different sorts of techniques that people use to convince you that they're right and that you should, you know, follow their line of thought or their encouragement.
Right, right. Well, we all learn, you know, as kids, how to kind of manipulate our parents and get what we want. And I think that's the beginning point, right? And then we kind of carry that out into our lives and how to get what we want from other people and cues and smiles and being charming and, you know, all those things, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, as kids, we try on that snaky coat. You know, we kind of see where those boundaries are and how far we can go. I mean, I think it's very important, you know, as parents, for us to make sure our kids have as many negative consequences as possible when
right.
they get snaky.
Right.
But sure, it's, you know, we want to be able to influence the world to get what we want. But when we're talking about two-legged snakes, we're talking about an imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about an unfairness that's just over the line. I mean, it's not just trying to influence the situation. This is really trying to influence the situation, and it's really going to cost the person that gets burned.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I like to talk about on my show because I have a lot of listeners and who write me about problem relationships, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I have listeners who say, I have a boyfriend who has done this and this and this and does these characteristics. Is he narcissistic? And mm-hmm. or I have some guys, you know, who also come in to see me and they've written me and they say, I think I may have a borderline access to personality disorder person, and, you know, here on my plate. And, you know, all these...
They got their DSM out, huh?
There you go. They got the DSM out. You know, it's like you Google the DSM, you look under personality disorders, and, you know, it's just like instead of two-legged snakes, you got, you know, access to cluster B. So, but, you know what I'm saying? But
I do.
So I guess I'm jumping ahead here, but I, you know, it's interesting to me. And what is the difference, do you think, between like the narcissistic, that borderline, that conduct disorder, antisocial type, and the kind of two-legged snakes you define in your book?
Well, you know, the whole narcissist thing, it comes from the myth of Narcissus, the fellow that fell in love with his image in the pond. And, you know, so a narcissist is somebody who's in love with themselves to an inordinate degree.
Yes.
And that's something that is kind of a prevalent personality style these days. You see a lot of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if a person is very extremely narcissistic, because everything happens kind of on a level, from kind of narcissistic to, oh, my God, you know, you're insufferable.
Yeah, it's all about you, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, you get to that extreme level, I think you see a lot of snakiness.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I kind of go that there's a lot of narcissistic people, and probably the extreme ones are pretty snaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, with snaky people, there's pretty much a degree of narcissism that runs through most of them.
Yes.
I think most snaky people are narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's kind of one of those little word plays. You know, not all narcissistic people are snaky, but pretty much all snaky people are narcissistic.
That's right. And, you know, that makes sense. And I think one of the main determining factors here is the lack of empathy. You know, it's like you're going to get what you want. You don't care how other people are going to respond or how it's going to affect them. So there's that big component of like, they don't care. There's a few decks missing in the card, you know, or
yeah,
cards
empathy,
missing in the deck,
that?
Rather. You know, and yeah, empathy and, gee, I feel bad what I did, or, gee, I wonder how these people would react to what I did or what I said. You know, that ain't there, you know.
And what kind of an energy am I bringing into the world?
Exactly.
Because, you know, people, when you burn somebody, that doesn't feel good for that person, and that kind of creates an energy, or maybe they're going to be encouraged to do something like that and treat somebody unfairly.
Yeah.
And that begets another person doing that. So just, I think a big question is what kind of energy you put into the world, and two-legged snakes aren't helping the good side of things.
No, I hear you. And my regular listeners know that I'm all about energy and, you know, manifestation, and what you think is exactly what you're going to get back. Everything in your head is what you see. Everything you've taken in and, you know, about yourself, the negativity, the low self-esteem you're projecting out there, and you're going to get it right back, baby, unless you change your, you know, behaviors and thoughts and know how to be healthy and loving with other people.
Absolutely. Agree more.
Yeah. So this is the thing that we have to do is identify, and in your book, by the way, Two-Legged Snakes, which is Understanding and Handling Manipulative People. And by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, this is LA Talk Radio, the most listen to internet talk station, and I'm with Dr. Ed Slack. He's the author of Two-Legged Snakes, really cool book, really fun reading, and also very informative. It'll help you out. So we're talking about the types of two-legged snakes there are out there, and what do you have, like 13 here or something?
Yeah, there's 13 types. It's kind of amazing how when you really get into watching people and watching snaky people, and I encourage people to do it like bird watching, you know, because you can kind of make it fun.
Yeah.
It's funny how the ways that they are kind of cluster in certain areas. Now, you can have different combinations of these sorts of things, but these 13 are pretty good. There's the charmer who uses charisma, you know, to get what they want, and they can be very persuasive and very seductive, and you know, they're great at getting in positions of power or intimacy.
Yes,
they cause disaster.
A lot of women come to me and they say, God, he was so nice, he was so wonderful, I just thought he was the man of my dreams, he was so charming and he was funny and everybody loved him, and what happened? And this is kind of what you're talking about, huh?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, and I was in the same situation. I had one relationship where, you know, I was coming off something that a bad relationship had happened. Bad stuff had happened, and okay, I'm ready to get back in the game. And I met this person, and oh my goodness, she was beautiful, and everything clicked, and just went way too fast. And boy, did that ever blow up! And that certainly was the case of my trusting a charmer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it hurts.
Well, I learned. It's part of the book, you know. The pain is in here.
That's right. That's what's great about it, though. So you have the charmer, and let's see, you have also...
How about the backstabber?
Ah, yes, the backstabber.
Mm. This is a non-confrontational sort of a snake, and they tend to... You can kind of get a feel for them because they're going to tell you everything you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're hearing everything you're probably that you want to hear, and everything's perfect, and oh my gosh, this is great,
yes,
but it just seems unrealistically good, you're probably listening to a backstabber.
Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe there's a little bit of passive-aggressive going on in there, too.
Yeah, that really amplifies it. The more of that passive-aggressive energy a backstabber has, the more they're going to be vicious and really get in there and screw you over.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the backstabber. Now, we're also looking at the bombast entertainer. I love this one. This is great.
Yeah.
Tell us
they
about
that. They have a gift of gab. You know, they're not going to tell you the truth, but they are going to win on the field of rhetoric.
Uh-huh.
And there's really no way you can win. They're just such good arguers, but they have an entertaining way of doing it. So, you know, they're kind of enjoyable to watch because we all, you know, it's kind of like watching a race and pretending we're in the car. It's kind of like we like to watch somebody who's really good with words because, you know, holy cow, it doesn't feel so good when somebody out argues us. So it's kind of an entertaining thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I liken that to, and I hate to say this because I know car salesmen who are really nice people, but, you know, that car salesman kind of stereotype, right? You know.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm looking down here. You also have the bilker.
Ooh. Oh, the the fiducially oriented snake. Uh-huh. They will bilk you for everything you've got. They'll smoke you with these mathematical models, and they'll tell you,
they
know that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. You get a lot of investment brokers that kind of fall into that category, and some people on investment shows on television will certainly fall into that category too.
You know, that's true. That's really interesting. We've got the decorated kind of two-legged snake here as well. What's that kind of person?
There's kind of a lot of decorated in the news lately with this whole thing with Jesse James and Sandra Bullock and all those. It's a supremely flashy subspecies. It tends to be scrupulous, but they're not. And they throw out these, you know, come-hither cues vociferously, and they can be, you know, incredibly attractive and seductive.
Yeah, you know, that's so sad. I mean, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I mean, it's really fascinating how, you know, Sandra Bullock seems so, you know, together and so wonderful as she presents herself outside there in the world. And, you know, she's been around a long time, and she's a director and a writer, and she's so involved. But, you know, how you know, we think to ourselves, and I see other people like this who are doing well in their lives, and they seem like they're bright, loving, wonderful, lovely people. How could they... after all their life experiences, how could they not get that they're with a, you know, a flashy person that's going to,
I've got something I wanted to say about that, because I thought about that the other evening. I was thinking, how did that happen? I was thinking the same thing you just asked. And I thought about, you know, Jesse James, and he reminds me of a fellow that I knew in Sacramento who was a kind of a tattooed tough guy. And with men, he was a good, consistent friend.
Right.
But, it is, so in that context, he was fine. But if you got him around an attractive woman or a woman he was attracted to, he had no scruples whatsoever. So he was kind of a situational snake. It depended on the context. If he was with his male friends, he was a good dude. But if he got around a woman he was attracted to, there was no morality whatsoever. It just went out the door.
That is really interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, we got the... we got the misdirector. What's that all about? Who's the misdirector?
That's kind of like somebody who will, if you're in a conversation with them and it gets to a touchy point, they're going to change the subject. They're going to direct your attention to something that is safe for them. Sometimes you can see news services that do it too. There might be some huge story that's going on, but for whatever reason they want to focus on, you know, somebody's, you know, put graffiti on grandpa's wall. They want to direct your attention away from what's going on so they can kind of guide you toward their way of thinking.
Very interesting. Yeah, you know what? That happens a lot in the media. It really does.
It really does.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right. Now we have the rhetorical. That's cool. I love the way you describe a brawler with words. I love that.
They're very aggressive.
Yeah.
And they do know every trick in the book.
Holy cow.
They will just come at you without pacing, outright lies, misdirection. You know, they'll be reinventing history. They'll go from begging sympathy to, you know, name calling. Holy cow. I think probably all of us have had one in our lifetime, at one time or another, where there's somebody we couldn't win an argument with, even if we knew we were so right.
Yeah, exactly. You always have to. This is where you really have to work somebody who does this, right? Because I mean, they're aggressive.
You work to the point where you know you're not going to get any farther, and then sometimes you just have to say, hey, you know, I'm out.
Right, exactly. I'm done. Okay, whatever you say. Yeah, you're right. I have no ego. I have no ego about it. If you think you're right, man. You know what? Whatever. It doesn't bother me. If you feel better, if it makes you feel better about this, then so be it. You know,
exactly.
That's my thing. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Dr. Ed Slack. He's a licensed psychologist and the author of the latest book, Two-Legged Snakes. It's Understanding and Healing Manipulative People. It's a great read. It's in paperback. It's got great illustrations in it, too. And it just kind of helps you work through, you know, feeling and understanding what went on in certain relationships or why you feel hurt or why you feel you were duped. And he kind of lays out some of the types of folks to look out for and you know, what manipulation is. A lot of people, you know what, Ed, they can't even, they're so, I guess, into it or into the relationship that they can't step out and identify. They think they're going crazy sometimes with these people, you know.
You mean the people that
the
are being in the relationships with the snakes?
Yeah, yeah, the people who are in the relationships with the snakes. You know, they're
yeah.
This is
it
mostly
can feel
the
real crazy.
Yeah.
It can absolutely feel real crazy because you know, particularly one of the techniques that this the two-legged snake will use would be called going big, and they'll like lie so large you can't possibly believe somebody would lie about something that big, so you end up believing them, and then when you find out that it's you know, it's a lie. It just almost feels like the world shifts. It just makes you dizzy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. Let's see here. Now, let's talk about, the situational is another two-legged snake you talk about in this book. What's the situational like?
Well, you know, we were just talking about Jesse James, and he was, I think, somebody that could be in that situational place. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who can be, you know, a pretty good person in some contexts, but in other contexts, they're not. Like, they might, you know, be good with friends, like we were talking about with Jesse, and then you get it in with an attractive woman or somebody he's attracted to, and boom, all bets are off. You know, there's no morality left whatsoever.
Wow.
Sometimes you'll see this with alcoholism and drug stuff, too. You'll have somebody who's a good person, and then just a little bit of alcohol or drugs, and they change completely into being manipulative, amoral, predatory, dangerous people.
Yeah, and you have worked a lot with addicts. You've worked a lot with substance abuse people. And you've
My goodness, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
How long you been doing that?
That was when I first got into the field. I had worked in a it was a transition house. God, what was the name of the aquarium effort in Sacramento?
Wow.
And, you know, they did a lot of really good work with addicts. And that was like my first experience in the field of psychology. That was before licensing or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just kind of, that was something that was really coming on at that time.
Yes.
And I just kept getting, you know, jobs in that field. And then when I got into private practice, it just, you know how the referrals go in private practice.
Sure.
You kind of tend to get good at something.
Sure.
And then people refer you. So it just has kind of gone that way for me.
No, it's great. And it's such an important specialty right now, you know, everywhere in this country, everywhere in the world, actually. But I think, you know, we have a lot of wonderful support systems in this country, and I think more psychologists should really, you know, get the certification for substance abuse. And, you know, there's so many things going on with that. And dual,
absolutely.
You know, they call it the dual diagnosis, right? You got the depression and the alcoholism and the, you know, whatever, narcotic addiction.
Yeah, sometimes even more stuff.
Yeah, exactly, going on. So didn't mean to digress, but, no, it's really true. You're right that you know, that situational is there's a lot of problems going on with that. Definitely.
Yeah, there really is. You know, it's important, too, to recognize that, you know, because somebody's trustable in one context doesn't necessarily mean they're trustable in other contexts.
Right.
We have to take our time and experience people in different contexts so we can really kind of get a big overview. A lot of times we'll give our trust to somebody because, you know, they've been great in one situation, but then when things change, you know, boom, it's a whole different situation.
Exactly. It's really true. And this is why I tell, you know, people who are starting to get into relationships again, you know, young adults and middle-aged people who are, you know, have had divorces and are going, take your time. Get to know somebody. Yeah. Chill out. Don't jump into this because you're lonely. You know, just pull back, see what you're dealing with, and you might want to read, you know, Ed's book, everybody, because, you know, maybe this will be the book I kind of hand out to a lot of people who say, I keep getting in relationships with these dogs, you know, the women, and, you know, I keep getting into relationships with these deceptive women who take me for all I've got, and they seem so wonderful and charming. So this might be the handbook I give to everyone. Say, first of all, read this. And don't be too paranoid. Don't be paranoid, but just...
No, you don't want to be paranoid about situations.
Yeah.
We make it kind of a fun bird-watching sort of a thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a paranoid thing.
Exactly. Oh, God. So moving on here, we have the two-legged snake list here. We're moving on now, and we're going to the media maven.
Like you know, these basically are people who hype the numbers. I mean, you can kind of see them on some of the news shows where they're, you know, really playing up the latest toaster recall or, oh, my God, out here in Nashville we get the people who hype the weather. It's a tornado. It's coming. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. And then you get this little wimpy storm.
Right,
you're
exactly.
Like, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. We had the tsunami. They friends of ours live in Hawaii, you know, and they were like, batten down the hatches, the tsunami's coming, you know, and I mean, it was like, excuse me, the guy that was sitting there on the beach, a friend of mine, is going, what? What are they talking about? There's all this hype's driving me crazy, you know. Everybody's like, you know, going in inland, and you know, he says, I'm sitting here saying, what? There's nothing going on here. Why? So
yeah,
that's just a small example.
You know, this type of hype fear, you know, if it's like in a sales situation, they'll, you know, definitely want to make sure that you're going to be saved by their product.
Yeah.
And you should be very afraid if you don't have their product.
Right.
You know, or if you're stuck in a relationship, with a terrible relationship, you know, they're going to be playing It's a Wild World by Cat Stevens and telling you how bad it is out there,
right,
and how you better stay with them.
Exactly.
That kind of...
Exactly. Folks, in case you just tuned in, you're on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and today I'm on the couch here with author Dr. Ed Slack. He wrote a book called Two-Legged Snakes, and what we're really talking about here is how to understand and handle manipulative people, you know, and it's really cool because Dr. Slack's laying out the types of the folks he's talking about, and, you know, we're just discussing how to handle it, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, but I do still want to go through this list of some of the main types of the two-legged snakes. I love the lost. Now, this is cool. The lost two-legged snakes.
These That's guys one of my are, favorite pictures
yeah,
in the book.
I know, me too.
It just really sticks with you. These are the kids you see, you know, out front playing hacky sack or in front of the Hot Topic, smoking cigarettes when they shouldn't be, and you know, they say whatever a lot and act world weary when they're really just kind of trying to, they don't really know what their role is in life, and they're kind of playing a game, and they're kind of playing it against people to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And constantly feeling victimized and feel like they make you feel like you're victimizing them and trying to get what they want with this huge sense of entitlement.
Yes, yes. There's like, you know, a big component of low self-esteem, which is kind of sad here. You know, it's kind of a sad thing. And, you know, I see this is terrible, but I mean, I, you know, come to mind, you know, a lot of teens, you know, younger teens kind of fall into this, you know, the low self-esteem and kind of whatever, you know, they haven't grown up enough to really have, you know, enough self-satisfaction to really know who they are. And that's a natural transition, I guess, when you're an adolescent. But I mean, there's a lot of adults like that still. You know?
There are. And I think the cure for that is to go out and test yourself and try things and do things. Find something that you're interested in and make a go at doing art or riding bicycles or writing or, you know, do something so you can kind of prove yourself so you don't have to kind of have this personality that's an excuse for yourself where you're preying off other people.
Yeah, exactly. So the next two-legged snake we talk about here is the lifer. I like the lifer.
Yeah. The lifer is, what was the movie, American Beauty?
Right.
The fellow that played the king, you know, Annette Bening's lover
guy. Right. I'm blanking
on it. He's like the perfect lifer. It's like, I always think about him.
Yes, that's so funny. I'm flashing on his face right now, and I can't think of his name. But, yeah, slick and super confident. Yeah.
Super confident. Yeah. And you know what is funny is they always tend to smell really good. They use a little bit too much cologne.
That's right.
And they had the super lifer on the Letterman show the other night. And I forget which politician it was.
Oh, that's so funny.
He had the hair slicked back, and he was talking snake the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And Letterman made this point of saying, hey, you smell really good, and I just cracked
That's
up.
Hysterical. I love that. We also I know I'm coming to mind. I have some folks that I... Yeah, a lot of politicians. The justified. Yeah. Tell me about the two-legged snake who you defined as the justified.
Justified. Think Sopranos. Think about kind of the thugs that feel like, you know, the world's made up of suckers or, you know, people who, you know, take advantage of the suckers. And, you know, they're kind of tough guys that feel like they're justified in doing what they do. A lot of them tend to look for relationships while they're incarcerated, so watch out if you're answering those ads. They can certainly be trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's about self-entitlement, really, you know, which is what a turnoff, you know, what a turnoff that is.
Well, I think a lot of people get into the fixing them because sometimes these big, tough guys, they're kind of sweet on the inside, but and well-intentioned people, you know, kind of want to fix them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, this is all, let me diverge for a second, mm-hmm. Michelle. A lot of us can get in relationships with people that are negative because we've been bitten early on in our lives.
Yes,
you know, we've had experiences with somebody that hurt us early on when we were too young to deal with it.
Right.
So what we kind of tend to naturally do is compensate unconsciously by trying to fix somebody in the same situation when we become adults.
I agree.
And it never works. I mean,
you
just keep going around in this cycle of, you know, trying to fix an old snake by fixing a new snake, and it doesn't work. We just have to take a look, you know, get some support and take a look at what's going on inside us and be honest and learn some new patterns of behavior. But it can be a very seductive sort of a thing.
Yeah, it sure can. I mean, what's up with all these women that, you know, do communicate and they find guys who are like lifers in stir, you know?
Exactly what I'm talking about. You hit the nail right on the head there,
because
that's exactly what I'm talking about. They're trying to do that.
And in some way, maybe it's easier because the girls have more control over the relationship because they know they're locked behind bars. So that way, this is the only kind of man maybe they can handle because they're, you know, they're safe because they're going to be incarcerated, but then they can caretake emotionally for them. You know,
exactly.
Kind of like, ew, what's that about?
It's kind of like hedging one's bets, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And finally, last and certainly not least, the king cobra.
The serial killer, the murderer, the genocidal lunatic.
God.
The local person looking for kids driving a dirty old panel van.
Oh.
You got to really watch out for these. You can tend to spot them on a local level. Because they'll be creepy.
Yes.
Sometimes they're kind of smelly.
Yeah.
And they have an aura about them where you're just like, oh, this one's trouble. Stay away.
Exactly.
There may also be some real loud glitches. They may be too quiet, and then all of a sudden they kind of, you know, explode and get way too angry, just like they're this thing that's shaken full of anger, and they're just about ready to explode. Those are usually kind of easy to see, and I really recommend staying away from them.
Yeah, that's a scary thing, too. Well, what's the most common manipulative trait that you think is in all of these, as you describe them, two-legged snakes?
Well, you know, there's the line, I think, is in inconsistencies between how they present themselves and how they really are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're honest, and you look at those inconsistencies, and you let yourself see the lies. You know, you're looking at it makes it easy to see the two-legged snakes. Now, I think it's important to have a perspective where you don't judge the person. You just judge the behavior. You know, who knows how they got to be how they are. And, you know, bless them, they might have gone through hell. I don't know. I can't judge anybody. I'm not in that place.
Right.
But
right.
I can judge behavior. And
right.
If we're honest and we say, that's lying. That's inconsistency.
Right.
You know, that's manipulative. We get that those glasses of honesty on, I think it can help. And certainly, you know, I've got to pitch the book a little bit. When we learn these types and these traits and we get these pictures in our head, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, it really does. And by the way, if you just tuned in, you're on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle on the Couch. And I'm interviewing Dr. Ed Slack. He's the author of Two-Legged Snakes. And we're really talking about how to understand and handle manipulative people in our lives. And I honestly, Ed, I think one of the most common complaints or issues that a lot of my clients have is this person manipulated me in this relationship, or my parents always manipulated me, or whoever always manipulated me. And so-called nicer people, you know, we sometimes tend to be a little gullible and, you know, buy into a lot of these things. So this is sort of a heads up on how to identify so you won't be hurt and you know, move on with your life. And also, you know, you give suggestions on how we can, you know, confront or deal with someone who has a lot of these traits. And I'm sure there's a lot of suggestions. But what are some of the ideas that you have about how people can cope? Well, not even cope. We'll talk about coping in a bit, but more confrontive, styles.
Well, we have to judge the confrontive thing, Michelle. The confrontive situation, we have to judge what's going on. You know, a salesperson is one level. That's being snaky is one level of confrontation. I mean, you can sometimes be very abrupt with them. It was kind of funny. We were looking for speakers the other day in one of the stores, and my girlfriend and I, and the salesperson was just coming on so strong and kind of put the brakes on a couple times.
Yeah.
And then we just looked at each other, and I kind of made these little movements with my arms, and we just literally ran out of there.
Right, I'm gone.
Sometimes it was like it was going nowhere with this guy.
Right, right.
That was the best way to cope with that. Sometimes you can confront somebody.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you've got a real glitchy boyfriend or girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might want to do the confrontation and talk about
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
sneaky behaviors in mm-hmm. public.
Yeah.
Now, if you talk about them with them and there's not a judgment in your voice about
right.
you're judging them as a person, you're
right,
just looking
right.
at it as behavior,
right.
it tends to go a lot better.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, I notice your – let's give some examples. I don't know. I notice your – wow, you seem so angry. Is what's going on, dude? Or what are you really meaning to say? Because I don't know. I'm not understanding exactly what your point is. You know, things like that. I mean, it's kind of you take the tactic. I'm noticing that, or I feel that you are.
Yeah, or you know, let's say you caught somebody in a lie. Well, you know what? I don't know quite why you're doing this, but I know that that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, I saw you the other night, and this was going on. So tell me what's going on with that.
Yeah.
You know, you must have a reason for doing this, so let's talk about it.
Yeah.
If you put it, couch it in terms like that,
yeah.
sometimes you get things across, and sometimes people aren't really aware that they're snaking.
Yeah.
You know, there
yeah.
are unaware snakes out there that aren't consciously and deliberately trying to do stuff. They just kind of pick things up. And,
right,
you know,
right.
And with confrontation, oftentimes, you can work things out. Sometimes you can't, and you just have to kind of call it and say, hey, I'm not going to go down the tubes
right,
with you. You
right.
know, I'm out of here.
Exactly.
But a lot of times through confrontation and positive connection and communication, you can do well.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, sometimes, like you said, you know, that personality type or, you know, whatever, the types of two-legged snakes as you describe them, they don't have a lot of the social morals, or they don't have a lot of the social cues. They're so habituated. They're so used to just sometimes not even being aware of how they act or how they're trying to get what they want to get. They just go into, you know, user mode or their
whatever. Yeah, it's like autopilot.
Yeah, exactly. So no, that's really great suggestions on how to kind of talk to someone and bring it out. But sometimes these personality types, they, no matter how reasonable you are and no matter how, you know, I see this or this, they'll deny it. They'll say, nope, you're wrong. You know, and you
yeah.
have bold-faced truth and evidence, and they'll still deny it. So,
it's amazing sometimes
yeah.
that you will catch somebody in something that is so obvious, and they will say it's not there. I mean, it's almost like, no, I'm looking at it. I'm touching it right now. No, it's not there.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It is just amazing, the denial.
Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the tools to cope with these people? I mean, how do we cope with, you know, the bad feelings and the, you know, a lot of times we feel bad about ourselves, or maybe it's something we've been doing. Why are
I think it's important for us not to take responsibility for somebody else's snaky behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if we're taking their behavior on, we're like trying to really be kings of the world, saying that we're in charge of everything. And sometimes that feels kind of good because maybe if we're in charge of it, we can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's a way of not letting go of somebody because it's your responsibility, so therefore you can change them, when really they're not showing many signs that they are going to change.
Yeah, exactly.
But the mental noise that we have, the way you think about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you think about that person's behavior as being that person's behavior,
yes.
and then yours as being yours, and think of yourself in a positive context, mm-hmm. I think that really helps not getting drugged down.
No, exactly. I have had in the past, you know, a lot of, and I hate to keep saying women who've come in, but I mean, because there's just as many manipulative women as men. Truly, but I mean, I think women are more, you know, can talk about, you know, their issues and feelings and problems and all that, relationship problems, a lot easier than men. So, you know, we get a lot more women coming in. But
I think a lot of that's that women in a lot of contexts have more courage than men. I think.
Well, wow.
They're willing to talk about it. And I think it takes a lot of courage to face these things.
Right.
So I think that that's fantastic.
Well, that's cool. I agree with you. And that's a great outlook. But I think a lot of, you know, women come in and they do. They say, well, I've tried this and I've tried reasoning and I've tried to help them, you know, change their narcissistic kind of behaviors. And I've tried to get them to not lie or manipulate and say, look, you know, just tell me the truth. truth. It's going to, we'll work through this stuff. We'll work, and it's just not working. And I, you know, don't tell them I'm not as directive as I would like to be. You know, my brain is screaming things, but I
stop
have
being
to,
a victim.
That's yeah. it. You know, I have to be a psychologist. So, you know, I say, how would you feel about walking away? You know, how would you feel?
Yeah.
You know, have you thought about walking away? Have you thought about your future and if you were without this energy, you know?
Yeah.
And they get to come to the conclusion that, yeah, I have, but this person's sort of saying to me subliminally that I better walk away, get the hell out of here. You know, it hasn't worked for years, and why am I, like you said, why am I allowing myself to continue to be the victim? Why? And then we explore that as well.
That's part of what the book is about. It's about not being the victim of these people in these situations.
And the book's not about, you know what I like? It's not, here's the thing, folks. And I was reading this and I go, oh, I can't wait to ask Dr. Ed Slack this one. Are we being paranoid here? Are we, you know, I mean, can we get to a point where we're just sort of freaked out about, oh my God, there's a trait. Oh boy, there goes somebody that's, you know, ooh, he is a misdirector. She is the media maven. You know, she is totally the backstabber. Yeah, it's kind of like we've got to chill out a little bit sometimes. And can we get a little too paranoid about always looking for someone to hurt us?
I think that certainly can happen. And when we start to see these things, people typically are like, oh my God, it's everywhere. You know, I'm going to be surrounded by this forever.
Right.
But there's a lot of snaky people out there, and there are a lot of snaky traits. Because a person's in a snaky place doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad person or that they're beyond help or beyond confrontation.
Right.
Kind of look at it again like bird watching and trying to have some fun with it and protect yourself and do the best that you can to promote putting a good energy out there in the world.
Right, exactly. And I think a responsibility that, you know, you and I have had, too, is to try to – I mean, look, we can't judge, right? When we're seeing people,
absolutely.
People are coming in, we have to be – just totally neutral, and somebody's telling us, you know, about some of the things that their partner has done to them. You know, I'm sitting here with a couple, right? And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy's really done some pretty bad things, or this lady's done some pretty hurtful things to this guy. And, wow, this person. But then I think, stop, neutral. There's a reason, you know, they're hurt themselves. They have low self-esteem, and they were given messages about how they have to manipulate to get what they want in the world. You know, so you have to be a bit insightful sometimes, and you know, try to teach folks out there what we've learned, you know, from our studies and our pain, our experiences, and our clinical experience. You have to teach them to try to understand, you know, maybe, you know, not be their analyst, but why is this person sort of like they are? What was their early, you know, environmental stuff going on, and why are they so wounded that they have to hurt other people in all these different ways? You know.
Yes.
So
absolutely, it's important not to be judgmental. But there are people out there, though, that, you know, we do, that are dangerous, and we do need to stay away from too.
Yep. And just, I mean, and my point to all this is, aren't we kind of all manipulative to some degree?
I think to a certain extent we all can be, particularly, you know, when we're growing up as kids, we're, like we talked about earlier, experimenting with what we can do to get what we want. But I think we need to take, you know, keep ourselves in check.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how we are conducting our lives is our responsibility. And if we, you know, had snaky stuff modeled for us or whatever, as adults, we're responsible for our behavior and what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we can reflect on it. Take a few minutes a day to reflect on our own behavior. And is it in line or is it out of line?
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. I love that. That's great. And a great way to wrap up this interview, because we're just about out of time here. But
well, thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, Ed, you're a cool guy. You're just, what a, you know what? You're a great psychologist. I know, if I ever go to Nashville, I'll come and talk to you. How's that?
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, folks.
Let's encourage everybody to visit the www.twoleggedsnakes.com website and pre-order the book. It's going to be out May 15th.
Perfect.
And join my Facebook site. I don't have hardly any friends. I'm ashamed.
Oh,
please.
I'm going to be your new friend, Ed.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Again, the book is published by Simple Truth Publishing. It'll be coming out, like you said, Dr. Ed Slack, on May 15th. The book is called Two-Legged Snakes, Understanding and Handling Manipulative People. A good read, an interesting read, insightful, may help you kind of understand these people in your lives, right? Who are
absolutely
manipulating you, and why and how, and how to cope, because you know, we can manage these things. We just have to learn
Absolutely.
How to identify them and move on in our lives. So
it,
once
it makes life a lot more pleasant.
That's exactly right. Once again, if you could give your email or your website address so people can check you out.
www, you always want to put that in there, otherwise I can't take responsibility where it's going to take
you.
www.twolegsnakes.com.
All right. Dr. Ed Slack, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a blast.
Thank you. It's been great, Michelle.
All right. Take good care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was, I love that book. You know what? I read it in a day. Because it's one of those kind of fun, you know, engrossing things that you can just get into and learn and all that stuff. So, okay, folks, thank you so much for listening today. This is Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. I got a scoot. It's about time for me to get out of here. You have been officially on the couch with me. If you want to write me, sure, do so. Any questions, problems, issues? Doc Michelle, D-O-C, Michelle, two L's, my name, at AOL.com. Check me out on my website as well. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy. com. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. It's not an ego thing. It's just you got to get yourself together before you can get out there in the world and start, you know, giving and looking for love. All right. Have a good one. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.